you go. Well, the arrow pointed it to me this morning when we got a text message saying from someone else, there's nothing to say. So I am working my way through the book of Acts, and I'm right now currently at Acts chapter 16, and I'd like to read the first few verses, but I want to pray first. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together, and we want to see your hand at everything in everything we do, and we can have the faith and the trust in you that all the things that are taking place in this earth at this time, they're all under your control. Even the little things, like the reminder of the sparrow. Your eye is on the sparrow, and your hand is on the sparrow. And Lord, when we come to your word, we can trust that your Holy Spirit will guide, will direct, will open our spirits to receive whatever it is you want for us, Lord. And may we feast at the table laid before us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to read from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through some point. This is the beginning of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who, excuse me, who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now, there is one slide on this little card I totally forgot to take back there. Just slide one. I'll call for it when it's time. But of these eight verses, with the Word of God, there is every verse, I think, has a depth to it. Even the shortest verse or the simplest verse has a depth that would take a long time. But if you look at this passage here, is there anything that stands out? Anything that gets you thinking? There is the circumcision of Timothy. There's the ministering to the different churches. Yes, those are all so very important, but there's one thing, one verse, one like subject matter here in this passage that has always somewhat intrigued me, and now that I'm here in this passage, I have to deal with it, and I'm looking at it, and it is this very obvious, very present subject matter of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because it says here in verse 6, they pass through these regions, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And if that doesn't get you wondering, why would the Holy Spirit forbid them? Well, that's one question. Why would he do that? The second question is this a typical purpose of the Holy Spirit to forbid the speaking of the word in a certain area, forbidden by the Holy Spirit? That gets you thinking all kinds of thoughts. And then in the next verse 7, and they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. What is that about? That's always, I'm not sure I can fully answer that question about the guidance of the Holy Spirit forbidding them to do something. I'm amazed that how did they know the Holy Spirit was forbidding them? And was he saying something to them? Or was it, we could go into a lot more with given time. We could get into some of the history that from other letters Paul is going through. He had some sickness. He had some circumstances. And we could go into a little bit of the idea, the theology maybe, or the of how the Holy Spirit guides and directs. But leave it to say just what Luke wrote here, the Holy Spirit forbid them. That's amazing. That is amazing to me. So we think of the method of leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. This is what we're seeing in here, and it got me thinking about the book of Acts. We call it the book of Acts. The Acts of what? The Acts of who? It's whether Luke wrote that title or not. In most of your Bibles printed, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we're halfway through. And I was just wondering about what have we seen in these 15 chapters of the Holy Spirit and his guiding us. So the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Paraclete, one who is called to come alongside. Luke refers to, in Luke 24:49, Jesus said, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The only other reference really to the giving or the coming of the Holy Spirit, Matthew and Mark don't really say anything in their Gospels, but it's just that one reference in Luke, and then the Apostle John. In John 14:16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Paraclete, that he may be with you forever." John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." And we could spend a lot of time just on that one verse. What have you learned? What have you learned of the Holy Spirit? Did you learn it by yourself? Says here, he will teach you all things. If you know anything about the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit who gave you the ability to learn that. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then as John 15:26-27, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, That is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness of me. And you will bear witness also because you have been with me from the beginning. And then finally, John 16:7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Well, that's sort of the all preliminary. But that's very interesting, though. You don't know anything unless the Holy Spirit has shown it to you. Honestly, you don't know, I don't know anything. You don't know anything unless the Holy Spirit has granted you know it. Isn't that amazing? You never think about it that much. What benefit do we derive by the person of the Holy Spirit? And what is his work? What does the Holy Spirit do for us? What? I'm looking at that from the, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is I'm halfway through the book of Acts, and we're seeing this where the Holy Spirit forbids them to do this, and the Spirit of Jesus says, no, don't go there. So where do we see the Holy Spirit? Where do we see him? Through what process do we see the Holy Spirit? Through what event? We look at the book of Acts, and maybe we can see something that is happening in the book of Acts that maybe happened in our life too, or that is happening, or that will happen. Or that there's an expectation that we will be led and guided and filled with the Holy Spirit. There should be an anticipation for the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But you say, well, what degree? You know, what? So he's taking a look at the book of Acts, which is there written for our benefit to show the work of the Holy Spirit, of the hand of the Lord, of the hand of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in building the church up and establishing things and teaching and guiding. Well, so I went through the book of, I went through what we have of the book of Acts, and the only, well, let's say, if the Holy Spirit does something in your life, if he touches you, it will be a lasting touch and it will be eternal value in your life. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. So I've got a list here. And so put up slide one, if you would, and you can see what I came up with in the book of Acts. A result of the work of the Holy Spirit. Take a look at that list. You say, well, I don't know that I've ever had anything happen to me by the Holy Spirit. Well, if you have had anything on this list, it has come to you by the Holy Spirit. Does anybody see anything? There may be one thing on this list that, that may not have happened to any of us, but a large portion of everything on this list, maybe, whether you know it or not, I can send this link to you. You want to take a picture of it? I'll send you the link to it. I'll send you a copy of this. But I want to go through, we'll start at the very beginning, Pentecost. That's the beginning of the book of Acts. It is the beginning of the church age. It's the beginning of Christ on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost. You know what? That's wonderful. Acts chapter 2. And there is the salvation of the Gentiles. That is a huge subject that took place over a period of time. I can't give you an exact reference, but it takes place in throughout the first 15 chapters. And it is resolved in chapter 15 in the book of Acts. But there are healings. Now I've got some specific reference. I don't know if the guys want to switch, if you can switch quickly between Bible verses and that list. Healings. Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. Now, I didn't mention the Holy Spirit by reference, did it? But do you think Peter did that by his own goodness and strength and grace? It was the Holy Spirit in him. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. And also the people from cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick and afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. And the only way that healing can take place is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Next on the list is preaching. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, and so on and so forth and so forth. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching. Next on the list, shakings. We heard that this morning, that there's some shaking going on. Shakings, boldness, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they prayed, this is the church, the gathering in Jerusalem, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. That's an earthquake. And they were, well, it's not exactly an earthquake, is it? It's a shaking. There's a difference. The place they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Next on the list, unity and selflessness. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. How does that happen? How does that happen that a people can be one? Unity, one heart and one soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. That oneness is only by the Holy Spirit. Now, that people can come to an agreement in their own intelligence and their own likes and dislikes. You can be a political party and you can call yourself a Republican, or you could be a Democrat. You can be a conservative and you could be a liberal. But those things are all earthly and are only possible as long as we believe. Think alike. We think and we ration. We reason. This kind of unity is entirely different. It is spiritual unity. It's by the Holy Spirit. Next on the list, great power with grace. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Power and grace. I hope every one of us can experience power and grace at the same time. And at some point in your life, experience power, spiritual power and grace. Next on the list, discipline. This is not a pleasant one. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. Now, that is not something I ever want to ever witness, but that is the discipline brought by the Holy Spirit. It's not Peter's words. Peter brought a conviction, but it was the Holy Spirit who ended Ananias' heart. That's the discipline, only by the Spirit. Next on the list, conviction. Acts chapter 5, verse 32 to 33. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and were intending to slay them. This is Peter talking, speaking in front of the religious leaders. They were cut to the quick. And also Acts 7:54, this is in the trial of Stephen. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at Stephen. That is conviction. That is a very serious conviction of unsaved people Hearing their guilt. Unsaved people, if you recall being unsaved, you never really wanted to hear your guilt held up to you. And it cuts like a sharp sword. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts, doesn't it? That's conviction by the Spirit. Next on the list after conviction is persistence. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Is there any time to stop? Is there any pressure that would come against us that we would ever stop? There may be momentary confusion, or there could be serious crises that take place and we are stunned for a second, but when it comes to a point in life, the Holy Spirit can give us persistence. He is the source of persistence in us, isn't he? We have to live every day. And may we live by the strength of the Holy Spirit every day. Be persistent. Next on the list, grace and power. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power. Where does that come from? Stephen? He was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Great, full of grace and power. Wouldn't you like to be full of grace and power? That would be incredible. Be full of grace and power. A lot of times we are full of opinions and other things. But we should be, as believers in Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit around us, we should be full of grace and power. Driving down the road, you get cut off. Are you filled with grace and power? No. This life wants to take the grace and power away from you? I drive my Jeep down the road and I generally go about, I go 55, maybe 60. Whoosh, goes people right by me. 75 on Route 13. It takes grace and power to not put that foot down and see how fast they're going. No, 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 won't do that. Grace and power. Oh, Lord, help us by the Holy Spirit. Give us grace and power in every situation. So, next on the list is a good one. Glory. The source of glory. The Holy Spirit is the source of glory for us on this earth. And fixing their gaze on him, Stephen, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. If you ever have to give testimony to anyone, wouldn't you like to be reflecting glory? As Stephen did. That would be the work of the Holy Spirit. Next in the list after that, visions. Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into the heaven. This is Stephen. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Absolutely incredible. Only by the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 11, this is still on vision. Acts 10. 9 and 11. This is Peter. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop. Cornelius is on his way, or his people are on the way to get Peter. Peter went up on top of the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance, and he beheld the sky opened up, and a certain object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. It goes on. You get the idea, though. This is a vision by the Holy Spirit. A rare circumstance. Vision of any kind is a rare circumstance. But I believe people do possibly receive, I believe that people do receive visions. Can't say I've ever had a vision, but any one of us could possibly receive visions. Wouldn't put it past the Holy Spirit. Next in the list, attitude of seriousness or weight. Sometimes we joke around a lot. We joke too much sometimes. There sometimes needs to be a moment where we can be led by the Spirit, but be so serious that people listen to us. So that is Acts chapter 8 and verse 25. Acts 8:25. And so, when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now I've heard, we have all heard, if we recall listening to Stephen Kong, you heard someone who solemnly testified. Every once in a while, a little light comment would come out and people would laugh. But for the most part, if there is an example of someone being solemn, it would be Stephen Kong. Very serious, because the weight of the subject matter is so important to us. We have to be, there are times we can joke and be lighthearted and have fun, because the kingdom of God is a pleasant place to be. And it can be fun. But there are times also we have to be, we, by the Spirit, will be deadly serious and solemn. So, by the Spirit. Next in the list, and because there is a weight to what we have to share. A weight in the sense of importance for people who are listening. And when that happens, I've been in this a crowd like that. When someone starts to speak with weight and seriousness, the whole crowd, quiet. You can hear a pin drop on carpet on the other side of the room. See? Anyway, you get the idea. So, okay, the next one in the list. I couldn't think of anything else to call it other than rapid transit. Acts 8:39. And when they had come up out of the water, this is the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch by Philip. The Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. Not sure if that's ever happened to you or would ever. Because it's here, because Luke wrote it, whatever it means, it's possible it could happen to you. But the point I'm making is, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next in the list, peace, fear of God, the fear of God, peace, fear, and comfort. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord, which is a very good thing, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Hallelujah. In this day and age, I wish we could see this take place everywhere. And maybe with the passing out of the Word of God by the Gideons as an example, maybe we will begin to see that. But we need the Holy Spirit to put His hand on the churches, the church in this area. So, peace, fear, and comfort is a good thing. Next on the list, resurrection. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body of the young girl, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And this is a work done by the Holy Spirit, not by Peter, done by the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit, who giving life to the dead. Now, we may not see a physical resurrection, but we can see life from the dead. When anytime anybody turns to the Lord, and I'm not spiritualizing this, this was a real, she was dead, physically dead. And the Holy Spirit, through Peter, gave her life back to her. Resurrection. This is post-life of Christ. The ascended Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, bringing life. But we can see life come to people whenever they come to Christ. It is like a resurrection. Anyway, next on the list, prophets. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And in Acts chapter 15, verse 32, and Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. We've been in a number of and seen reference to a lot of locations where there's all kinds of things that take place and you wonder if it's this or that. But in this case, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon. There were actual spirit-filled prophets and teachers. And what a wonderful example for us to look for in this world. Next on the list, teachers. Same thing, prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch. I would look for, if you ever travel, look for today's church of Antioch. See if you can find one. The Holy Spirit can guide you to one. Next on the list, sent. Acts 13, verse 4. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, this is Paul and Barnabas, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Being sent out by the Holy Spirit, I think that we can say in our history we have seen people sent out by the Holy Spirit. Our teams of teen mission and the effect it had on the teens. I wish if there's still a teen mission exists, I haven't studied this. If there is, some of you young guys, go for it. Spend the summer with teen mission. Forget about making money. God will provide whatever you need, and if you went, your life would be changed in teen mission. Anybody here go to teen mission? Anybody left? We have nobody left. Nobody's here who went to teen mission. I never did, but being sent out by the Holy Spirit. I remember reading, it's Amy Carmichael's life history. She wanted to be sent out by the Holy Spirit so bad. As a young girl, she got everything together. She raised funds. She got counseled by her church leaders, and she went to China and suffered miserably. Terrible time. She wasn't sent by the Holy Spirit. Or maybe that was a sending to learn some valuable lessons of life. But it wasn't, and she failed miserably, had to go back to England and reassess. And she got a call. I'm not a phone call. Call from the Holy Spirit to go to India. And she went on shipboard, held Bible studies with anyone who listened. And she went to India, and she, because she was called by the Holy Spirit, the ministry from her was tremendous, even to today. And we heard about it in person when Stephen Kong visited her, and she was laying flat on her back for the last 20 years of her life. And he said when he walked in the room, he so felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. He had a whole list of questions he wanted to ask her when he walked in, but he couldn't. Because the presence of the Spirit was so strong. It's when you're sent by the Spirit. And it could be a little thing. Go across town. Whatever. Be sent by the Spirit. You might be, and you might, and come back and give us testimony about that too. Next on the list, strength. Acts chapter 13, verses 9 to 11. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud," this was a fake prophet, false prophet, he was talking to, "you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." That's pretty hard words. "Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" That is the usual method of a false prophet. "And now, verse 11, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. That is speaking strength in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit in a particular situation. We don't really not want to see that happen, but it happened by Paul with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Next on the list, guidance. Here's something we can all identify with. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials." This is the church in Jerusalem giving the final word to the brothers to go to the Gentiles, take the gospel to the Gentiles. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Seem good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Now that's unity in the Spirit, with the Spirit. It's not just you have some law that you've got written down, one of the Ten Commandments that you have to follow. This is an active, living, actual, alive unity with the Holy Spirit in a given subject. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. When we're together with in oneness of spirit, that's that you will receive guidance. I expect to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when we are one with each other and one with the Spirit, that we'll hear what He's got to tell us. And the last one in the list, and this is something we should all have. Acts 13:52. "And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." I hope you have. Maybe not every day, every morning, but I think we should all be able to experience being filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You ready for that? In this day and age, we could use some joy, couldn't we? We could use some joy being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a list up to this point. In the book of Acts, where I see, hey, the hand of the Holy Spirit is very active. All of these things are things, I don't know about the rapid transit, but all of these things we can expect from the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is always watching over us. And if we walk from our car to the door of our house and a bird falls on the ground, there's a lesson in it. All by the work of the Holy Spirit. And the real miracle of that is not that the bird fell. It's the miracle that the guy saw it. The guy knew it in his heart. Is your heart open to hear whatever the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. He will speak to you every minute of the day if you're open to it. And I know there are moments in the day we are, our ears are closed, our eyes are shut, and it's not because we're asleep in the middle of the night. It's because we are people of this earth. And we can get corralled and stampeded and buffaloed and lassoed by the things of thinking, keeping a Western rodeo context, of the things of this world, because there is force involved in this world. We are subjects of the earth when we should be subjects of the heavenlies and subject to the heavenlies. And that is what? The Holy Spirit working in us. Hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit fill you and give you joy. Hallelujah. Leave church with joy. Every time we gather, leave our gatherings with joy. Didn't even get to the fight between Paul and Barnabas, because that is a wonderful example of the difference of ministry through the Holy Spirit inspired people. Was the Holy Spirit, but we'll have to go back. Have to go back to Acts chapter 15. If I go back to Acts 15, I'm running out of, I know I'm out of time. You all want to go home, and I don't blame you. But Acts 15:39, this is between Paul and Barnabas, and there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Now, I don't have a lot of time. Maybe we'll cover this some other time. But do you think the Holy Spirit's behind this sharp disagreement? Maybe not like inspiring each to like fight with each other. Maybe not in the actual fight. There needed to be a little bit of grace here. But the Holy Spirit can so infuse us with a calling that he has given us, a ministry that he's given us. I would say, yes, the Holy Spirit is behind this disagreement in this respect, that Paul was given a ministry for the multitude, wasn't he? He had a capacity and a vision for as far as he could see, the horizon, a vision for the horizon. But Barnabas, on the other hand, had a ministry given by the Holy Spirit for the individual. And those two things, we go into that, but I'm saying I could go into that sometime. But Lord, give us the joy, fill us with the Holy Spirit, and give us joy this morning. We thank you for the work that you are doing in each one of our lives every minute of the day. Even when we are not aware, Lord, your hand is upon us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where the earthquake has destroyed Antioch.